Ahoy, hoy, everybody. Welcome to the Talking Simpsons Season 6 wrap-up. I am your host, currently in Season 35, Bob Mackey. Who else is here with me today?
Simpsons plane expert, Henry Gilbert. Wow. Hello. I'll have some info on that later.
Oh, the plane. Who else?
Chris, Duckman Necrophiliac. Wow. Not getting over it.
Jeez.
Not over it yet. It's the new Simpsons and nobody knows it.
Duckman Necrophiliac?
Yes, okay. Yes. I'm digging up his bones and I'm making sweet love to him.
Oh, okay, yes. And you're making t-shirts out of him, too.
Those are gone.
They're gone now. So Duckman pressed charges?
We didn't want to catch the wrath of Gabor Chupo.
Oh, man. You don't want him on your bad side. So, yeah.
I wouldn't, actually, no.
He is Dr. Nick. So every season, after season one, we've been doing these end-of-season wrap-ups.
Yes.
And this one will be no different. We usually talk about things that happened in the news, behind-the-scenes details and things like that. We will also have, like we do with season 5, a deleted scenes episode for our patrons as well. And the $10 patrons will get a video version of that. So that is coming down the line too. And the deleted scenes are always fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. And this has been quite a half year for Simpsons season 6. I came into every season we do, I'm like, this is my favorite season now. Like,
this is currently my favorite.
It is kind of my favorite, though. 7 was your favorite before we started this.
So it was.
It was.
We shall see with the next one.
But having waited a little bit in the 7th, I understand.
Yeah.
And another thing that I don't know, we'll get to it immediately in season 7. The production pipeline's becoming more clear because a ton of the phenomena they are parodying are things from 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very strange. It's it's from late 94, 95. That will be defined season 7.
Yeah. And I think like they're a bit ahead of the game on certain things. Like when Radioactive Man, they made fun of Waterworld months before it released.
It has to be based on the trailer.
Yeah.
They made fun of Joel Schumacher before he was the... Mm-hmm. I swear the guy in that is Joel
You're
Schumacher,
right, yeah.
Like before Batman Forever came out.
But I think they were just lucky enough to know about the production difficulties and immediately start writing about it.
Yeah, because we know we're going to be talking about this movie in 6 months anyway.
Yeah.
Let's start right now.
Yeah, but season 6 was a... It doesn't have the huge turnover that other seasons did because it was just the second year of Merkin and his last year as showrunner. And I don't think there were even some really big... I think Jennifer Crinton was maybe one of the biggest hires in
I think so.
Season.
I'm trying to think like Jace Richdale, Collier, Brent Forrester, those guys. Yeah,
those were pretty big. Brent Forrester, quite a get to.
Yeah.
And Ken Keeler, sorta, though he came on through The Critic. But he did write an episode.
Yeah.
So.
But even though we're seeing, in the end of season 4, we saw a bit of a drop off because everyone was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Algie and Mike Reese working on The Critic. This is like a super stable end of the season. In fact, it ends with my favorite episode, Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1.
And
spoilers. We'll talk about that later.
You know, Chris, Bob, I'm asking this without any setup, but didn't one writer get in big trouble that year with Merkin and they mouthed off to Merkin? Who was
Bob
that
Cushell.
Mm.
I believe Merkin would give writers a hard time just, playfully.
Mm-hmm.
And
he still does on the commentary.
Yes. You can get a taste of who Merkin is on the commentaries, but I think I've told the story before. It's actually in the Unauthorized Simpsons biography by John Ortfed that came out in 2009. But Bob Cushell is one of the few people that actually talks to him because he only worked on The Simpsons for a year and he was fired.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he was having an argument with Merkin about whether a joke should be in the episode or not. And Bob was like, I think it should be this way. And Merkin was like, well, that's because you're an asshole. And he just went off you cannot call me that. And he stormed to his office.
How dare.
And he was like, oh shit, I'm going to get fired. And I guess he was eventually given the sort of corner office treatment until his contract ran out.
Oh, I had
contract
one of those.
Renewed.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But so don't step up to David Merkin. He will swat you down.
Now, most people really like when we interviewed Mike Scully, he was nothing. He said that Merkin would have been a hero of him. I never heard that before, where Mike Scully said that he Dave Merkin had been a hero of his from being a stand-up.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Knew Dave Merkin as a stand-up
that's
comedian.
One of the backgrounds that very few writers in The Simpsons have.
Yeah, I know. They don't. Well, that's why Merkin and Scully, maybe they were friendly in a way, too, just we're surrounded by Harvard jerks, and neither of us went to Harvard.
And they're both a little bit older than the rest of the writers.
That, too. Yeah. And
it's not too late, Chris. Mike Scully started writing for The Simpsons when he was 38, I think.
Nah, I'm
you
done.
Can still do it.
I'm done.
And 3 children, and he had written for... He had written for Small Wonder.
Oh, no, no. Out of This World.
Out of This World.
It's better than Small Wonder. Take my word for it.
But lower budgets.
Yes, small. For sure. It was a syndicated sitcom, and he wrote for, like, Grand. And
Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah.
He wrote jokes for him, and the only reason he's in
sitcom. Those were written?
Yes.
Oh. The only reason he's in sitcom writing is because Yakov got a one-season TV show. He's like, you come write for my show.
And it was called What a Country, and I want to believe the episode of King of the Hill where Bobby sells his first joke to Yakov Smirnoff in Branson is based on Mike Scully's life.
Wow. It has to be.
But he was not a small Texan boy.
But yes, as we discovered in 2017 and as was covered in our interview with Mimi Pond, the Simpsons didn't have a lot of women writing for it. And
it's true.
Jennifer Crinton in season 6 was the first woman, though the feel from the commentaries is that she was in a junior position or that she was like the discovered writer. And I'm hoping in a non-sexual way that David Merkin kind of viewed her as his mentor and mentee situation, sort of like 30 Rock, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, she was not. She, like, immediately became a writer. Some people join writing staffs and they start as story editors or, like, associate producers or whatever. They're not given full control of a script. But I believe she just started by becoming a producer or a writer.
And, I mean, her talent is, unquestionable. She left The Simpsons for Seinfeld and then wrote for... She writes for Veep now. She is an executive producer on Veep. Like,
she was on Arrested Development?
And Arrested Development,
too. Oh, like, that show.
Yeah, she is one of the most successful post-Simpsons writers there is, really.
That's kind of some of the greatest stuff that's ever been done post-Simpsons.
I mean, we looked at things that big writers like Jeff Martin did and John Vitti, and they never really attained the same level of, like... I don't know, like, critical success.
I mean,
John Vitti is an amazing writer, but he wrote the Alvin and Chipmunks movie.
Yeah, I mean, somebody mentioned something like that. Like, but The Simpsons gives you this pedigree where people who work on garbage will pay you insurmountable amounts of money to come work on their garbage.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein wrote the series The Mullets. And I believe it's better than the title would have you think, but it's not something that they would do normally.
It can't be all Mission Hills. Yeah. And I'm saying that is a good thing, even the show's canceled in like 10, like 4 yeah. 40 seconds.
I think it aired two episodes.
Yeah, two episodes, which is, Bill Oakley said, one of the most frustrating events of his life.
I can't believe that.
And but yeah, that also reminds me of, did you guys ever watch The Comeback? I love The Comeback too. The Lisa Kudrow HBO
two
series.
Seasons separated by like a decade.
Yes, but it's the funniest fucking show.
It's great.
Show. But she is channeling things that happened to her on Friends. I feel certain of that. Huh. But on the show, there's two executive producers, one who's a complete asshole and one who is his nice friend.
Yes.
And they, when she, at one time, she tries to big up them by saying, well, you know, when I win an Emmy for this, or she talks about how she's an Emmy winner and that's going to give more, you know, big deal to the show. Then they reveal, like, oh, we won an Emmy for our Simpsons. And they're like, oh, these guys are Simpsons writers. This makes me think even more differently about what, say, Lisa Kudrow. And you should know that, like, the Friends writing room was literally sued for sexual harassment.
Really?
Lead writer, look it up. In late seasons, one of the lead writers was sued for sexual harassment for things now that you... It was the Weinstein stuff before it. And I remember...
Maybe that draft jiggles.
I remember 10 years ago hearing people who are insiders for comedy writing in Hollywood say, look, either everything's okay or none of it's okay. It's like, that is such a shitty cover for, like, I told a joke about your tits and you didn't laugh. How dare you? Like,
So was there any crossover between Simpsons writers and Friends writers?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Maybe not with
staff. It seems like an odd fit.
But then again, there are more women
Friends writers and no female Simpsons writers.
Maybe not,
A dumb story for... I love The Comeback. The asshole writer in the first season is the most 90s, like, heroin-addicted alt fucking person of all time. When he comes back 10 years later, he has my vape pen.
Oh.
He's sober. He has
is that
my
the
vape
new
pen.
Heroin, Chris? Is that
yes,
what you're
it
saying?
Is. Okay. Also, yes, it is. It's the new douchebaggery.
Also, I love on that show that bus driver Stu from Pete and Pete is her, like, boring husband. But enough about The Comeback.
Yeah. Meat Man Stu.
Simpsons season 6.
Yes. Aired from September of 1994 to fall to May of 1995. And I first go through the news, which honestly there wasn't a lot of news. I went back through Variety, the archives of Variety, and really the big news was, one, that The Simpsons in syndication was killing it all the time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Until Seinfeld the next year went into syndication, it was number one in syndication, beating Home Improvement. Two was what we already covered in the critic episode, Matt Groening going public with being pissed off at James L. Brooks for doing a critic episode. Mm-hmm. And we heard a lot about how the Simpsons writing staff wasn't a big fan of that episode either.
Right, check out our Stars Bill Oakley Burns, interview. Right?
Oh, Bill yes. Oakley interview and the yeah. Stars Burns episode.
Yeah, and the Stars Burns mm-hmm. episode. And there was all the Who Shot Mr. Burns stuff, which they basically advertised for like 2 months before the episode. They advertised it with Pepsi, not just 1-800-Krellick, but Pepsi and an airline company, which in May 15th, 1995, launched out of the Burbank Airport, was the Simpson Airplane.
Oh, my God.
Which was a Western Pacific Boeing 737-300, and it reportedly cost Fox $1 million of an advertisement. Wow. And yeah.
What? Only a couple of people in an airport saw?
It was.
You can't really see it from the ground.
News, you feel like a big deal. Like, it's the Simpsons airplane. You know, like, oh, how did I know Pokemon got big? They had a Pikachu
airplane.
That's right.
Tell me there's a picture of it and tell me that'll be the picture for this episode.
Oh, there is an entire featurette about this on the DVD set.
No shit.
With commentary. And I believe David Merkin said, I didn't get on the plane because I didn't want to be the. I didn't want the entire writing staff to die. Yes, like, I want to be the one survivor.
I didn't have to be
in the
most
crash.
Ironic death of all time.
Yes.
Marge is on the tail of it, which like this is how it's on the DVD, but I was looking for trying to find any like magazines the Simpsons were on, and one was like Airplane Magazine with the Marge Jesus. Tail on the cover, and I was like, oh, is this about the Fear of Flying episode? Did they talk about it? It's like, no, it's about the Simpsons plane. Wow.
Yeah. So that was the only magazine the Simpsons was on in
1995. Yeah, 95.
Airplane
well,
World.
It's interesting because it's not a white hot phenomenon anymore. It's kind of a television staple.
Yeah, it's settled in.
But it's also like, I don't know, meme kids. This is where syndication is where this becomes a language where it becomes where we can quote things to one another.
Yeah.
If you weren't the guy taping shit, this is how you watch the show starting in 1995 or 94.
It's been cool to see in 2017, Simpsons memes have hit mainstream now. Like the shit posting has hit mainstream.
Did you watch that like 10-minute steamed ham solid thing?
Yes.
For fuck's sake.
Okay, like, we need to link to that. It is amazing.
It is excellent.
It's if the steamed ham sketch was Metal Gear Solid, complete with Coda conversations, complete with alerts, complete with the loading screens.
My roast! No!
I watched the whole thing.
I watched one where every word was Aurora Borealis, and they're like, Aurora Borealis, Aurora Borealis, Aurora Borealis.
I watched one where it was a dialogue box from Earthbound, and the caption was, this is my favorite scene in Earthbound, and it was all of the dialogue from the steam ham scene,
I
watched the entire thing because I know every line of dialogue from that scene.
But what I saw it perfectly summed up why people love Simpsons memes, shitpost memes. Is because we all know every Simpsons joke.
Yes.
But this allows you to be surprised by a Simpsons joke.
Yes,
again.
It's the kind of thing that can't happen with other shows. Mm-hmm. As much as we all love Arrested Development, they sort of already did it.
Yeah.
And it's not on the air anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not enjoying it 10 years after it's over. As much as I think you should, because I watched a little bit of the first season again. It's great.
But
I saw one more I just thought of like this morning, and it was Homer dancing with the ice cream cone and the lollipop.
Yes.
And it keeps showing up, and like whenever someone opens a door or a curtain opens, it's Homer dancing with the ice cream cone and the lollipop.
It's replacing the dud.
It's fantastic. Yes. Yeah. I just wonder if like my mom would have like enjoyed that with Cheers or something. Like if there was a Facebook 20 years ago.
You don't memorize every Cheers episode is basically the same with all the same backgrounds and everything.
Yeah.
You can't place a specific. I'm not saying you can't. I can think of specific Cheers jokes.
But like, there's no scene of like fucking Woody dancing with anthropomorphic lollipops. They're all in a bar all the time.
And you don't see the same kind of memification with things like Family Guy and Futurama. There are a few things you
not
see from them. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Family Guy's not grounded enough, I think, to the show itself would stick these situations in.
Well,
Futurama,
true.
Maybe.
Futurama has been memeified to the point of like Squinting Fry or Shut Up
Money
and Take
Fry,
My Money.
Yeah.
But those are simply lines.
Yeah.
It's like, or your music's bad and you should feel bad. I've seen that one a few times. But it's not mix and match. You don't see a Bender from another episode smacking Zoidberg. I love that song. That's one of my favorite jokes ever. Okay, but
it worked.
John DiMaggio made the word woo funnier in some way. A new spin on woo.
So there is one more piece of news, though, from this season that is somewhat related to Simpsons, but also to The Critic, and I want to get just a little critic news in here, is September 1994, John Matoian is hired to be the president of Fox Television. Mm-hmm. And he, if anyone killed The Critic, it was John Matoian.
We had this confirmed.
By Mike Reese.
The paper was signed, the contract was signed like in April or something for The Critic, right?
So in April, as we covered in Talking Critic, listen to it. You guys, you're on the Patreon, so you should be. But anyway, Critic was canceled in March of ABC by ABC. They need to negotiate a new home for it or it's just dead. Fox decides, we will have a second season, and we're going to put it on after The Simpsons. And they even try to negotiate to air the ABC episodes that didn't air.
Oh, that's right, because they probably couldn't.
Well, yeah, ultimately ABC just burned them off in the summer.
Yeah.
And so they make a deal. 10 new episodes of The Critic plus 2 episodes of The Simpsons by The Critic staff. That is made before September when John Matoian is hired. And the story of him is that he had been an executive at CBS and that he was replacing Sandy Grusho, who had been the person who had approved The Critic. Rupert Murdoch, though, wanted a change at Fox. He was tired.
No more dames.
Well, believe it or not, we... Chris and me went through this exact thing at Games Radar, which is they Rupert Murdoch hired a new person and said, we're tired of edgy and young. We want to be mainstream.
They want that CBS money.
Yeah, they want the
that diagnosis murder buck.
It was under Matoian where they spent record amounts of money to get NHL, to get the NFL, and also why they headed shows that are not Fox shows, like Party of Five and Ned and Stacy.
Ned and Stacy.
I see.
And Partners.
And Partners and Two Something, starring John Cryer. All these things that are basically NBC shows instead of Martin, which was like...
Which still runs
shows with black people.
Which still runs on MTV, and I love being able to say that sentence.
Wow.
Who ever watched Ned and Stacy? I only knew Ned and Stacy because... It got Lowell off of Wings. I was like, no, Lowell's LOL. So funny on
You were
Wings.
That invested in Wings?
I don't know why.
But like I did like every member of the cast, and you would just see them turn up in things you did like.
I liked it more than Ned and Stacy, that's for sure. Deborah Messing before she was Deborah Messing, before she was Grace.
Tony Shalhoub.
So John Rupert Murdoch hires John Matoian and tells him he wants this to be more grown up. Guess what John Matoian doesn't want? A fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
A cartoon that's handed to him. And so, according to Mike Reese, if I may quote him, when they were making the show, he said, he would call us saying, I hated this episode. I hated this episode. And one week he brought us into his office and said, I'm going to show you the show and you tell me why it's funny. So he starts playing the episode of The Critic and his assistant starts laughing and he says, why are you laughing?
Oh.
And that he also, 2 weeks into The Critic, pulls all native advertising for it. He's like, not going to advertise it on Fox anymore. Huh. It's not doing good.
You hear about that with a lot of shows, and it sucks, and I hope it's gone, but the ego of studio heads.
Yeah.
We're like,
if it succeeded, it wasn't his idea.
If The Critic has to be a mega success, if it's a minor success, it wasn't his idea,
right,
and therefore he can't hitch his horse to it.
That does explain why I could only find one Fox Critic promo, period, because two existed for the two episodes that they were allowed in, or they were allowed to, promote.
It's such a bummer, because at that point, like, wouldn't you see Simpsons syndication money and like, dude, if we could have this with a critic.
Yeah, it's the same people.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
And Gene and Reese were very clear of like, this was doing the best ratings of a show post Simpsons they'd done on Sundays.
They got double screwed because I don't know if I brought this up on an earlier podcast, but if you watch the Dana Carvey Show documentary, the exact same thing happened to Dana Carvey that happened to The Critic a year later. ABC putting an edgy show next to Home Improvement and then being like, what the fuck did we buy? What is this?
Please watch that doc if you didn't hear Laser Time's Comedy Doc episode. It's the most Laser Time clip I've seen in a documentary, which is just getting the people involved to react to a commercial break.
Yeah.
And that's online. It's so fucking funny. It's all about
spoil.
It's all about like how hard it was to be after Home Improvement. It should have been this golden ticket.
How wrong it was to put Dana Carvey's show after it.
Yeah.
And how it was a curse to be after Home Improvement. And if you weren't a Home Improvement style show, That's not what people want to see after Home Improvement.
And I love Robert Smigel's benevolence towards it. Like, I'd never seen Home Improvement. I thought it was this. And then when I finally did watch it, like, what have we done? What have we
You're
done
beat
this
cancer,
poor audience?
Son? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Did I spoil it?
It's so okay. good.
Well, and also, I can't directly blame this on John Matonian, but I think it is the case. So the critic, they had no repeats during The Simpsons. When they started on The Simpsons, it was just new episode, new episode, new episode. And then in April, they take 2 weeks off and replace with House of Buggin'.
Yeah, John Leguizamo's House of Buggin'.
And then we're replaced in for 3 more weeks and then ended the season. And it also feels like John Matonian saying, let's see how House of Buggin' does compared to this. It's going to do way better.
I would put, there's like a bookend to Fox's programming with House of Buggin'. Because it was built in the In Living Color model, which I loved. And wish
it was like a Latino focused.
Yeah, with John Leguizamo.
Wait, is John Leguizamo?
He is Latino.
Okay, I want to make sure I got that right.
I know on one of his stand-up specials, he made fun of people thinking he was Mexican.
He's not. Yeah. He's a Puerto Rican.
Puerto
Rican,
right? I believe that's it.
I believe that special is spectacular, which I'm allowed to say.
Oh,
because that's what he named
I get it.
That is the name of it. I liked his. One of my favorites is his one-man show about all the women he dated that
he's
made him grow up.
Kind of famous. He's actually in Berkeley recently doing a one-man show.
The Pest is one of the worst films of all time. But yeah. Like, he's grown into a good performer and not a bad guy.
No, I love John Leguizamo, period. He is fantastic. He's a great character actor. He's working his ass off in a mold that essentially would become the Chappelle Show mold, whatever that means.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't call In Living Color a Keenan Ivory Wayne's Chappelle Show because he just like gave a bunch of work to this ensemble cast.
Yeah.
But Leguizamo is kind of the centerpiece in this slightly ethnic sketch comedy, and I liked
vaguely
it.
Remember it. I can't remember anything about it, but
it has the dumbest name of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that is the attention getter if you're flipping through TV.
Yes.
Guide. House of Bugging.
Lots of ethnic stereotypes that wouldn't fly today.
I mean, oh, I'm sure.
One of his main ones that they'd advertise is just him with like giant Coke bottle glasses, buck teeth, and Asian accent out the ass.
The Pest has even more of that.
In the
Pest, he's going to have dinner with his black girlfriend and meet her parents for the first time. And so he decides to wear a dashiki and paint his skin more tan.
Nice. You know, if you live in a house of bugging, you shouldn't throw bugs.
No.
I was saving that up.
Thank you.
Nothing puts a black people at ease like a white guy in a dashiki.
If it's a Puerto Rican guy, is it less offensive?
I know. I just want to get that out.
Give it more license.
Okay, so May 21st is when the final episode of The Critic airs, and it's officially canceled. It is actually, the third season begins writing production. 9 scripts are commissioned. And
God, I want to read every one of them.
And John Matonian says, no, fuck this. This is not going to be on our season. They offer it to UPN, but UPN offers an even shittier budget than they had on Fox. And the critic was very clear, like, we can't make it this cheap. Like, can't.
And I don't know how you listener, to put a pin in the critic for me, I don't know how you listeners view it. I think you guys are kind of on board with me, but the critic made movies seem more important at the time I considered movies the most important. It was such an awesome show that had me reveling everything, because I was watching everything at that point.
I mean, we were doing the series Talking Critic, and I was like, a lot of this show can't work anymore. The show is predicated on you having this cultural knowledge about movies. You have to know what Casablanca is. You have to know what The Shining is. You have to know, like, I don't think a modern audience would know what all these references are.
Yeah, you would have to, like, in a modern context, you would need to know the Mary Poppins reference from Guardians of the Galaxy and how Moonlight ended.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
You would have to know.
They'd have to do a Moonlight joke now, but like, as I learned from chatting with my mom over the Christmas break, she's like, I still haven't seen Moonlight. I don't know. It's like, it was the Best Picture winner. To think there would be a time, I'm like, yeah, I didn't see the Best Picture winner. You had to have an opinion about English
Silence
Patient.
Silence of the
yeah,
what?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Because I never saw English Patient, but I understood parodies and things like that in The Critic. I understood piano references.
Seinfeld was too mean to The English Patient. The English Patient is not a bad film.
Yeah, Diana made me want to see it. She went to bat for it pretty hard on 30-20-10.
So The Critic dies, but what happens to John Matonian? Mm-hmm. Well,
network succeeds and he gets a raise and held aloft.
So I looked up articles from September of 1996, which is when his 2-year contract would be renewed or not. Mm-hmm. And the articles were like, time's up for John, or he's getting replaced because the ratings were down. He had no hit. Like, Party of Five was the closest thing to a hit, but that was not.
I remember Fox. I wish I would have known that. I'd look up that promo. There was a commercial that Fox ran during The Simpsons Like, and it was like, it was a one guy talking to camera who wasn't on Party of Five.
Hmm.
Like, here, guys, look at the reviews of this show.
Oh,
and here's
yeah,
one problem. Yeah. You're not watching it.
Oh,
and this one guy would try and, like, beg you to watch Party of Five. And holy... And it
lasted a while, right?
But when you think about that internal promo,
yeah,
that's insane. No critic internal promos. Yeah. None. They had a guy out of the show
begging
you to watch.
And this is skipping ahead slightly to season 7, but you can also see the Jamatoian. So they spend all summer advertising Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. They know it's going to be big, big ratings.
Mm-hmm.
What are the two shows that air after and on Sunday night? The pilot for 2-something and the pilot for Ned and Stacy, which are reruns.
Mm.
But it was just Jamatoian going like, I mean, these shows need to succeed. They got to get...
Do we want to talk about what aired before it? Because I didn't...
We will talk about that on the episode, yes. but yeah, so that story, Jamatoian, he is fired in September because he spent a ton of money on NHL and NFL that did not get enough views. And then he is replaced by Sandy Gershow, who just comes back because...
Oh, wow.
That Sandy, he left to run a... like, basically a tech startup... And then 2 years later, he's like, this is harder than I thought. Back to Fox. And of course, that's what Jamatoian does too. He fucking fails, and then he just became the head of executive at HBO.
You could give him another chance.
You just go from... No, yeah. This is going to start me on a rant, but no executive ever has to answer for any failure.
Because then they all would.
Yes.
And the sham would be apparent to everybody.
So, yes, that's pretty much all the news from this season.
Well, the one nice thing Jamatoian... Matoian?
I think it's Matoian.
Jamatoian did is...
He's
I was
Armenian.
I was actually watching ahead, and I watched the first Oakley and Weinstein season 7 episode, mm-hmm. where the foster home one.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he liked that so much he sent them a letter saying, good job with your first episode. Yeah. So maybe he wasn't all bad. He just hated
that's
the critics.
Nice. Mm. Well, though, Oakley and Weinstein, they also were quite miserable with how Fox treated the part 2 of
yes.
the Who Shot Mr. Burns, which we'll get into that episode there. But okay, so that's all the news on the DVDs there. Mm-hmm. And as far as my research showed, from 94 to 95, there were only 3 new Simpsons commercials. So we do watch the commercials. These
Yay.
Ones on the DVD. First, they had a deal with like third or fourth string fried chicken company Church's.
So it's not KFC, it's not Popeyes, it's not what else is there?
I'd go to Bojangles.
It was Bojangles.
It was most famous in the South because a chain in Georgia, I think, was running guns outside of Church's.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
I never really had Church. I always saw
big in Georgia.
Okay, I'm a KFC boy. If there was no KFC, I'd go to Popeyes. I've only really saw Churches here, like in California.
Same I like here, one kind of fast food chicken, Halloween McNuggets. I want my McNuggets dressed up like Frankenstein and Dracula.
And then you get your own orange bucket. Yes. Candy in.
My
all right.
chicken needs to start as pink paste that's formed into balls.
But so here is the here are the two Church's chicken commercials.
Barbecue chicken. Sticky.
Heads up! Ooh. Hey, Baldy, give us the ball back.
The ball stuck to his
now,
hand.
Picnic boy.
Churches, gotta love it.
So the bullies kicked Homer through the goalpost.
It is a rare situation where Homer is bullied by the bullies. I don't think I've ever seen
I don't think any fucking fried food executive would approve of bullying and to sell their chicken of a little boy.
It reminds me of like I'm surprised Bart isn't strangled in this one.
This is crazy.
The animation's good too.
The animation, like I think the early Burger King commercials used old footage and tried to repurpose that.
Yeah,
but in commercials at this point, it's technically the best The Simpsons will ever look.
Yeah.
It's a little too fluid.
Yeah.
It's a little too flashy.
Their best animators work on it, probably with a bigger budget and getting paid more.
But the one we're watching, it's like this is preserved in HD better than any episode from this era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's digital unlike the show.
And the show right now looks better than it ever did, but it doesn't move with this fluidity. The camera angles aren't there. It's fucking crazy.
So here's part 2 of Churches.
Ooh, chicken. Must eat. Need money. Any means necessary.
Homer steals a piggy bank.
Oh man, he jumps like the Terminator.
They just stole the animation from Homer Let's Finders. Homer flies through the Church's chicken. Oh, smashing its wall.
How much luckier can a kid get? That'll work.
Churches.
That's a cute show.
I like it. Nice gag.
Get his piggy bank back. He's not lucky.
But he doesn't know it's his piggy bank. But so, yeah, those Church's Chicken ones, they learn that the easy joke is like bad things happen to Homer. Like just
he's fun to abuse.
Homer, you can abuse him, and it's also
he's a dream for advertising for food.
Advertisement. Will the guy who eats anything
he will eat garbage. So get him on board.
By the way, I can confirm this having just been to Florida for Christmas and weighed myself in the Publix where I ordered my Publix sub like I do every time. I am now Homer's age, and I weigh 10 pounds more than he does.
Oh, God.
239 pounds.
I'm aware. Yes, thank you.
Well, you wear it better than him.
Being 6'3 helps.
All right, so here was the only other one, which is the 1-800 Collect Grand Canyon ad, which they kind of were airing along. It was clearly part of their deal for Who Shot Mr. Burns as well.
Yeah, stay tuned for that episode. We'll tell you who won. I really will.
Oh, the Grand Canyon. What a Grand Canyon. It's times like these when you think about those closest to you. Think I'll call home.
Please state your name.
Homer!
Yellow?
Collect call from Homer?
No way, man. I only accept 1-800 collect calls. Give me the times, Homer.
Ooh!
Damn.
You little...
Dial 1-800-COLLECT. It's the way to call collect.
To be more accurate, it should have been like, collect call from Homer!
Homer.
Yeah.
Him saying his voice.
I think I said that in another show where you try to describe it. This is, instead of leaving your name, we would leave the number of the payphone we were at. So people would call that back and we would have to pay anything.
Like, pick me up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was basically Homer showing up versus Homer in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Yeah.
And though I do like the animation of him going, why you little, and trying to, I guess, strangle the phone, but that makes him lose grip and fall to his death.
If we examine this closer, it's weird that Homer's taking his own vacation to the Grand Canyon without the rest of the family.
I just can't hear the Simpsons. Even one of the only lines from the Simpsons movie that sticks in my head, here we are, kids, the Grand Canyon.
It's so old and boring.
That was the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond doing that.
Oh,
voice.
You're right.
Who only got that through collusion with Mike Scully. Scully because... He had been Mike Scully. Mike Scully left show running The Simpsons to be a writer on Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's
not
CBS
even the
money,
boss.
Man. Even back then.
He got tired, I think, of being the boss. He's like, no, I'll just write. It's fun to be a writer. All right,
we're not really picky about our jokes here.
Video games. We are at the nadir. the top one is Itchy and Scratchy game, which stream of that is on.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys. That was awful.
Check out the YouTube Laser Time. I finished, I think, 3 levels of that game for the first time in my life.
I've
not worth it.
Gotten past the Stone Age level.
I didn't know you could.
Purely for video capture have I done that.
I like that. All right, look. It is horrible, but at least it's not just a platformer. Kill Scratchy. That's your job.
There's logic to it.
Yes. And also that year on the Game Boy was even worse, I dare say, Itchy and Scratchy in Miniature Golf Madness. Ugh.
It is worse. I wrote about all these games for 1UP back in the day, and it's like playing a game of miniature golf, but there's something trying to attack you the entire time. It sucks.
So slow and hard.
And technically right before this season, but I don't think I mentioned in the last season wrap-up, was the Game Boy game Bart and the Beanstalk.
All right.
Which, again, real bad.
Yeah.
Bart, it's basically
like a middling platformer.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's caught in a fairy tale world where Bart goes through the story of going up the beanstalk with his family.
It's a weird choice to make.
Yeah.
Like,
and only point, because I think Tiny Toons did it the same year in a PS1 game. Like Plucky the PS1.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
like that.
True.
Those weird adventure games.
Then in September of 1994, probably the last big Simpsons game from Activision, Virtual Bart.
Pretty bad.
Yep.
We got to do Retronauts on that because it's worse than Bart's Nightmare in some very unique ways.
It's so very similar though because it's pretty.
Yeah.
It represents visually The Simpsons well. One or two of the games are salvageable and everything else is just, it should be illegal.
Yeah.
Like this is awful.
All the platforming stages are like the pig stage, the baby stage, the dinosaur stage, all bad.
The
throwing tomatoes thing is briefly interesting. Water slide thing is like memorize this water slide and then you'll win.
Don't fall into Homer's asshole.
Well, as we covered with Paul Provenzano, that was the first console game to have Simpsons voices in it.
Have
voice cast, which he said were original recordings with the Castellaneta and the rest.
Yeah, Dan Castellaneta never said Virtual Bart in the show, I'm pretty sure.
But so this also, though, was the bridging time. By 1995, it's almost a dead year of Simpsons games. There's one Simpson game that comes out for the PC in season 7. Uh-oh. And this is when they are the Activision deal is over. The era of Fox Interactive Entertainment begins, which is honestly slightly better.
Yeah,
slightly.
There was one weird Konami PC game called Bart's House of Weirdness.
Oh my gosh.
It is beautiful, but it is so fucking hard.
I don't even know that one.
Look it up. Screenshots. It's great. It's great to look at, rather.
And then there was one other thing failed you listeners this year was Family Guy hate. I should have been hating on Family Guy more. Specifically, there are two jokes this season that Family Guy straight up ripped off in later episodes. I should have said in the episode. First off, Homer's gasping for breath on the ground is exactly Peter's shin injury, except it extended longer as the shin, because obviously a Family Guy joke should be twice as long as you think it should.
Funnier.
Yeah,
and then
it fills more time. You don't got to write other jokes.
Yeah, I just got to license Conway Twitty footage.
Yeah. But the other one, which is even more egregious. Mm-hmm. So, Santa's Little Helper fucks a dog that's running at the same time. Not only that, runs onto a dog track to fuck that dog mid-race and mount it. If anybody remembers the episode where Brian falls in love with Mr. Pewterschmidt's prize greyhound, he runs onto the track, mounts it while running, and fucks the dog on the track. It is even the same joke of his head going over her head while running. The exact same joke.
It won't make it any better for you, Hank, but don't they acknowledge that they stole it? Like, right after that?
Not in that. To my memory, not in that episode.
Because they do it so many times, acknowledge that they're stealing from The Simpsons.
Oh, they do it later ones.
Probably doesn't make it okay for you, I would imagine.
That joke is so clearly stolen.
I don't think they're being sincere about it. They're just trying to make fun of the fans who keep saying that. Maybe.
So, anyway, that is when season 6 jokes Family Guy ripped off terribly. Which I
guilty in joke court.
Yes.
I'd like to think of season 6, especially the end, is when it becomes a well-oiled machine. There's not a lot of drama behind the scenes because you have this thing that's kind of carrying a network and also a syndication cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, let's not rock the boat too much. So there's not a lot of drama.
The biggest one was drama Matt Groening created over the critic.
And then it was nothing, and nobody really cared.
Which, if The Simpsons wasn't a juggernaut, you couldn't raise a complaint like that.
Yeah,
because it's like, just help us. Jesus, Matt.
They'd just be happy, please, just make something. We need help staying on the air.
Yeah.
There was no doubt The Simpsons would stay on the air forever at that point.
Imagine James, I fucking found you, Matt. I made you.
You're nothing without
Matt, look,
me.
I direct the Terms of Endearment. Great James O'Brien.
I'm going to direct Spanglish soon. Even better.
I got this great idea for Spanglish. And this Adam Sandler guy, he's singing about fat ladies now. But, but I see him as the star of Spanglish. All right. So season 6, as a whole, what do you guys view it? How do you guys view it?
Chronologically, this has been a wonderful excursion, and I feel like we need to do a decade wrap up to try and figure out what's the most satisfying season, because there's no real groaners after season 3, but there was no downtime in season 6 other than A Star Is Burns, which in any earlier season would have been a highlight of that season. A Star Is Burns feels slower and weirder, but
the critic episodes really feel like critic episodes in retrospect.
Yeah.
The Merkin and his team, they couldn't have been firing on better. That we had Bart's Comet followed by Homie the Clown. Yeah. This is the best.
Yeah.
They're doing everything right to me.
I'm always so excited to come here to record because, this one's next. Oh, this one's next. Oh, my God, this one.
I'm going to be sad in 2 years because look at the meme factory. I follow that Simpsons Instagram account, and it's interesting watching. He'll post clips from stuff, and it's clear that his love goes a little longer than mine.
I've seen memes from season 15
really?
And season 14. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I haven't.
Yeah.
I perk up when I do because I'm vaguely aware of what it is, but it's not the same as seasons I would say 9. 9 is when I was still paying attention every week. That's so weird to say in season 28.
I used to be a latter Simpsons hater, but I've since gone back on that. Actually, I'm watching the season 18 DVDs.
Really?
And there are episodes I hated when they aired. Now that I've mellowed out a bit and I'm not as invested in The Simpsons in terms of like this narrative of, oh, it just keeps getting worse. I'm like, these are funny. Like, I enjoy all of these. Some jokes are bad, but like I'm having fun watching these later episodes. By later, I mean 10 years ago.
I think by charting the arc of this season, in season 4, you can absolutely tell when they were getting exhausted.
Yeah.
In season 8, I feel you can also tell when they're getting a little tired. Mm-hmm. I was looking for that in this season. I think the closest to it, I mean... Marge's Fear of Flying isn't the greatest episode, but I think the way that they show their tiredness is that they wanted to do so many fuck you jokes to expectations that they just get punchier as they go. They're just like, that's what I would have said to you if you weren't an inch too short. Yes. Things like that.
David Merkin did not slow down in his last year. Like,
if anything, he got more wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I love the season so much, but I've waded into the 7th season. I know that it gets as good, if not better.
Yeah, though it's been funny to hear that Oakley Weinstein said the same thing about their season that Mike Scully told us in our season.
Yes.
Like, we want to focus back on the family again. It's like, why do you always say that and then you go crazy and don't focus on the family? Like, I think they all say that, and then when they get 7 episodes in, they're like, I'm tired of writing Marge jokes. What?
Disco Stew gets an episode now.
Yeah, Disco Stew episode. They want to get crazy. I think Merkin started with like, I'm not that interested in this family. I just want to be goofy. Like, let's make these cartoon people really.
Yeah.
And I think too this season, the only thing that really hurt this season as a flow is just the episodes they were forced to do to make extra episodes happen to have more in syndication.
Yeah, I mean, we have the info. So season 6 is flawless except for the worst clip show ever.
Another Simpsons clip show.
Yes, thankfully, like I said on that episode, no one remembers it. It's that bad. People have wiped it from their memory. So I don't think we should let that affect season 6.
Yeah,
but
it really shouldn't even count. But other than that,
it shouldn't affect the episode of this show, people. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, that you bail out on something called another Simpsons clip show.
It does bother me. When people listen a little less to that one, I'm like, I wonder if, thanks to the titling for that and the previous clip show, that people think, oh, it's a clip show episode of this podcast. Like, no,
why
we
would
recorded
we do
an original thing.
We didn't waste that much time, but I wanted to just go into how bad it was and why they were forced to do this.
I mean, we could now. Like, so I did, we every time in the season wrap up, we name our best, our favorite and least favorite episode. But obviously, we can't just have the clip show be all our least favorites because it is.
Oh, no.
But
I mean,
let's go
that.
Into why it is the worst, like, if you want to.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't count it if we are rounding up what our worst and most favorite episodes are. I mean, it's like, it should be out of the competition because it's, by definition, it will be the worst. But, I mean, it's just, it's cheap and it's spiteful and it's made poorly on purpose to spite Fox. I mean, it's made to be bad.
It's
so,
like, you wanted this, we gave it to you. We put minimum effort into this.
Yeah, it felt, something about it felt even more crass that there had been enough episodes that they could have a themed clip show.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it seemed more like, well, this is a best of. Yes. These are the funniest gags from previous episodes. This is just love.
And the best jokes in it are them admitting to how shitty this is. They're like, why would you watch this? This is, you've seen this episode before. Or they'd say, well, now I'm telling you about the time I cheated on your father.
The only thing I could imagine that would be worse, and they may have done it, is like, Homer, remember that time you don't want to get a new job. Remember that time you had this job? And it was just a clip show about Homer's job.
That would actually work well. Actually, so we did Talking Critic this year, and I remember hating the Critic clip show. But it actually was much better after having seen another Simpsons clip show again. Just like, wow, there's a story. There's some nice new animation.
Yeah, I would say the Critic
clip still sucks. I'm going to say it
trash,
still sucks.
But it has about 4 minutes of new animation. Well, I would say it'd be generous to say there's 90 seconds of new animation in another Simpsons.
I don't know if I love or hate complaining about that. Having grown up watching the Looney Bugs Bunny movie and
because they were new to me.
Yeah,
maybe that clip show was new to kids.
The Heathcliff movie, Daffy Duck's Quackbusters. Like, they're all compilations with very new and limited animation.
Well, I loved seeing the weirder 80s Bugs introducing 50s Bugs.
Not really. What's up, Doc?
Well, and that
Mel Blanc coughing up his lungs.
I love Chuck Jones. He is my favorite of the Termite Terrorist crew. But
he is my least favorite anything after How the Dragon Crystal Christmas.
By the 80s, he was like, he had upped all his worst tics. And it's like, no, Bugs Bunny wiggles his nose all the time. And everybody has too many lines. I was like, you drew better 30 years
ago. Everybody like doily smiles and whispers like the Grinch.
It worked for the Grinch, his unending smile.
It didn't help that pretty cool. the animation industry had changed. Mm-hmm. He was not giving his drawings to a bunch of guys he worked in the same room with. It was like, here, Korea, take these. And it was this is too busy for us to work with. In fact, that opening cartoon in Gremlins looks fucking awful. I hate how bad it looks.
Gremlins 2?
Yeah, Gremlins 2. Yeah. With Bugs and, is it Bugs and Daffy?
It's Bugs and Daffy.
It looks so awful. Like Hanna-Barbera animated this or something.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, there's one person, one Talking Simpsons fan I don't want to call out. I'll call him out in a friendly way. They always get really mad when we make fun of Hanna-Barbera, and I'm sorry, but I can't like Hanna-Barbera.
They might
not be a patron.
If you think of Hanna-Barbera, just think of Ghost Mutt.
Yeah.
That's every Hanna-Barbera cartoon. A half-thought-of thing of just like, a strong ant.
They're all in bands.
Long swig of a martini. It's a talking, what's popular right now? Speed buggy,
get
sir.
Don Messick in here.
What's popular now? Jaws. All right. The talking shark.
What are the kids into? I don't know, sir. Music. They do music.
They go around
doing music.
We got to do a second season of this Josie show. All right. They're space musicians now. Space. Kids like space.
Fonzie went to space.
Those are all things. Like, those are all real.
Like, I could probably, not only could I come up with a quiz of like, is this a real Hanna-Barbera cartoon? I might be able to draw it
with
no illustration experience and convince you this was real. And this was
to be fair, Filmation is way worse.
Yes,
what they did to Tom and Jerry is a war crime.
Yeah,
yuck.
As a superhero fan, I said on Bart's comment.
Yeah,
you watch Super Friends now as somebody who's seen good Batman cartoons, you're like, this looks awful. It's like, no. You have to watch the Filmation Justice League stuff to know just how bad it could be and how Super Friends is fantastic by comparison.
The little research I've done on Filmation, and when I exalt this renaissance we're living in of great cartoons written by people who love cartoons, He-Man is a great example of old people who hate you making cartoons for you. They hate you.
Well, that's why I'm super excited. Netflix, you see, they're doing a She-Ra cartoon.
See,
and it's being produced. You remember that comic Lumberjanes
by
Noel Stevenson?
Yes.
She's the executive producer of the
Holy
show.
Shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love She-Ra.
They're hiring real people to make this. Like, so they hired a real ass lesbian to do a She-Ra show. Like, that's great.
He-Man, you could let it go, but She-Ra deserves. Those characters are so much fun.
Yeah, they're more fun. I mean, Orko, nobody's better than Orko on that show. But,
a black mage?
Yeah. Oh, Orko. That's not the Orko.
You get like a rainbow sprite Ewok combination on Shira. I forget his name.
But you even see, that guy can't compare to Orko. He's like a gremlin, a rainbow gremlin.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, the Hanna-Barbera, if you compare their Pac-Man cartoon to like the Q-Bert cartoon, it's way better.
And, yeah.
Right? And the way you bring that up is like, we're now talking about The Simpsons in syndication the way nobody has done since Hanna-Barbera. They're the last people to own syndicated animation.
Yeah. That's true.
I guess after first run. Yeah. There were still tons of straight to syndication animation.
The 90s and 80s were an interesting time where they. First run syndication became a thing of just
Disney afternoon.
Do you remember?
Let's just spend $12 million for 3 years to make 65 cartoons, and then we'll make all the money.
We will kick Speed Buggy off of the Cartoon Express because he's had 20 years of syndication dominance of this garbage product.
He's a car; he does not need to be on a train. Number one.
But the clip show,
not to be confused with the motorcycle cartoon, it's exactly the same.
They need to fund more episodes of In a Minute. That's my opinion.
In a minute. I think what also erases so another old clip show from my brain is that every other clip show was better. And they, especially in response to this, 138, which is all like shitty. The animation in it is shit. Like, it's bad digital animation that recycled too much. But who cares? It's Troy McClure being funny
and it's like,
and showing you stuff you didn't see before because it was a deleted scene.
It's basically just like DVD extras before DVDs.
Yeah. And that's really cool. And at least. Some people can hate on All Singing, All Dancing, but there's been tons of great songs on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But here's all of them in one place, and they have a funny joke about Paint Your Wagon.
I love the Paint Your Wagon song.
Gonna paint a wagon. That's Lee Marvin. He'll drunkenly save this movie and beat somebody up.
It's a real, like, 3-hour musical, everyone.
Meanwhile, another clip show There's a reason I used for the image of that everyone looking disappointed. That's how we felt doing it.
So we're talking about favorite and least favorite still?
Yes, true. Okay. So true least favorite for me is Round to Springfield, because some people were upset, actually. We got several comments on it saying, it's not that bad, or this episode touched me, or this was important, or that you shouldn't be mean that Lisa should be sad that her mentor died. Like, come on. I was like, yes. But my problem is that it is so obviously a very special episode that The Simpsons should have done a more clever approach to that and undercut it more, instead of it really just being in a very special episode about a character dying.
Because it was made as Emmy bait.
Yeah,
which did not get the nomination for.
No.
And I looked this up for the news. Mm-hmm. You guys will be happy. It's like one of the only years Mystery Science Theater 3000 is nominated, but it loses to Dennis Miller Live Chat.
Oh,
sheet.
God.
Yeah.
Well, this.
Got that Peabody, though. It's even better.
I only knew Peabody's because MST3K won.
Yeah. It's a proudest achievement.
And Bill O'Reilly lied about having them.
But The Simpsons.
That's right.
Well, The Simpsons didn't get to win Emmys all that much for songs. Yeah. Like, the Senior Burns song is nominated and it loses to junk. Like, it, I was like, how can Senior Burns lose to this? But the, in Round Springfield, my hatred of that episode, or my dislike of it, is summed up in like, here's my saxophone. Yes. Like, no, you are better than this, Simpsons. You're better than the telltale cough of the obviously dying guest character. You're better than making jokes about Robert Shapiro and Alan Dershowitz. You're better than this. And it just felt like taking it easy, you know?
And then much later, they sort of undercut the episode by saying, how did Lisa get her sax? It's like, well, yeah. Bleeding Gums Murphy gave her the sax.
And that was Gene and Reese wrote that one. And that was them undercutting themselves. And also, you could tell the writers, the staff of The Simpsons didn't hate it as much as the critic, but there's a reason in the next clip show they say, he was never popular.
Yeah.
Because they didn't give a shit that he died. Like, so Round Springfield is my officially least favorite of this
season. Yeah, and on that same tip, like, I think A Star Is Burns is sort. I hasten to call it my least favorite. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I was looking. I was looking forward
but
to that
the
one.
Memes.
It was a meme factory.
Yeah, and it's good, and it's. But it also highlights, in hindsight, that maybe there was a little bit of strife behind the scenes, because Jay Sherman is not really ever there.
He doesn't get any good lines.
He doesn't get any good lines. He doesn't get any good gags. If he gets a good gag, it's as a result of Homer being there. And it just, the last thing I'll say about it, it just highlights how much better the critic is at making those kinds of jokes.
Yeah, they just fell out of place. And in that episode, too, it's weird. There's no real plot. It's like, the town needs to improve its image. Mr. Burns needs to improve his image. Homer needs to learn what being a critic is like. It's just like, well, pick a plot and go with it.
There's a different theme for each act, and none of it really matters.
There's so many episodes in here that are like, they're hilarious, but like plot-wise, real tight. And this isn't at all.
It's much more meandering. Well, that's also, we have so many episodes in this that don't even have a B plot, and that's why when some of them do, they're like, it's kind of weak with this B plot.
Yeah,
like, if this came in season 3 with or without Jay Sherman, it would have been one of the best of the season. Mm-hmm. But like, I forget what it was bookended with, but my favorite, Bart's Comet.
Yes.
And if we want to segue into that, Bart's Comet.
Well, Bob, what's your least favorite?
It's also Around Springfield. And I can't pick another one. Maybe Fear of Flying.
I would
seconds.
Say Homer versus Patty and Selma, just because the ballet thing is like weak. Like, but, eh.
Yeah, at least with Fear of Flying, I mean, at least with that one, though, the plots kind of resolve and they make sense, and it doesn't just, like, get bored with having Marge do things.
And Homer's Search for Alcohol is a good one, too.
Yeah.
It's a good opening bit. So, yeah, Around Springfield, pretty much both of ours. I think I hate picking, we're all picking on the critic staff here. But
it does feel like that.
Yeah. Fucking Ken Keeler.
But that show rules. Having revisited as part of your Patreon, like, it, that show's still really fun for me to watch, and I wish it will. It can't not be more of a time capsule than The Simpsons, but there's plenty of, we're here to tell you about the references you might not get in The Simpsons. The critic is still fun if you're a pop culture fan, and I wish something like it continue. I wish it still existed.
If I could trade those two episodes to make two new episodes of The Critic have existed that season,
there you go.
I would do it. Like,
same here. Yeah.
I wish they would have done that instead.
We would not have Boo Earns, but you know.
Yeah, that's true. Boo Earns, man, I would miss that. But Chris, you were saying your favorite. I think we have the same favorite is Bart's Comet. It's the heart is there. I love the heart, and every joke is great. Big Butt Skinner. Hilarious. A wonderful opening. A complete through line of one plot thing. You've got the end of the world, seemingly. Democracy simply doesn't work.
And that's what I love most. I love good Bart episodes. And at its heart, it's still a good Bart episode. And then ends with, I love Springfield. All of Springfield and utter chaos. Mm-hmm. And this is the apocalypse. Like, it was the most chaotic it's ever been.
Yeah.
And if I'm being really honest, if we can laugh about it now, I made that ringtone out of pure love for the show, but the idea that that went out to all the listeners I'm sure there was one or two people who are like crazy mad about it, but that is,
most people just had to get
that is fucking
it.
Funny.
It was a fun accidental troll. Yeah,
it was like an early April Fool's game. Homer kicking
baby ox.
Homer kicking Ned out of his own shelter and saying like, if anybody should die, it should be him,
especially his children.
It's so good.
We won't need left-handed stores.
And the animation is king in that episode, too. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's some of the best animation they ever had. Though,
this barnyard animal guessing game is tearing us apart.
Yes. I think, too, it's something that would end up injuring the show, I think, for me later. Mm-hmm. Both in this and... I was thinking this after watching Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2, is that... Once, by the end of that episode, you know, they tease the end of the world, and then it's nothing. So you know it'll never happen on The Simpsons. So in later episodes, when they're like, it's the end of Springfield, something really bad will happen, you're like, well, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. You already had a meteor not hit them.
Yeah, it's hard to come back from that.
You had Mr. Burns get shot, and then nothing of consequence happened. So then you're like, okay, there's no consequences. That kind of hurts the show afterwards when it's been proven to you there's no consequences.
And I think after Who Shot Mr. Burns, most of the Burns jokes are no longer about him being evil or conniving. It's more like he's a very weak, frail, sickly, old-timey man. Like they kind of like neuter him a bit.
Huh.
It's true. Yeah. He's a man so sickly he can't get sick. That's
right. Three Stooges syndrome. Can I talk about my favorite?
Yes.
Yeah. It's Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1. An obvious choice for me.
I was giving space for it.
Yes, I've talked about it a lot. Probably from the very first episode of the show. But yes, it's like the most important moment for The Simpsons as a TV show, I think. And one of the best constructed stories, because everything has to be a joke and also everything has to matter in terms of a larger mystery. And Mr. Burns is at his best. And this is why this is the Simpsons movie for me, not the Simpsons movie, because I think Russ Cargill is a shitty villain. Mr. Burns is the ultimate villain in the Simpsons universe. And the fact that he wasn't in the movie always annoys me.
He's not even in
film. Yeah.
He's like in the credits.
And that Hank, all the actors are doing great, but especially Harry Shearer, the prickly pear Harry Shearer.
Yeah, it's just, but in terms of the tightness of to deliver all that incredibly necessary exposition in the form of great jokes is crazy. Like, I don't know if I've seen any medium pull that off as well as this episode.
And there are new clues I'm just getting. In fact, one of the ones I just got upon the most recent viewing was, you know, like, so the letters S and M and M and S matter a lot. He calls Santa's Little Helper the Simpson Mutt.
That's
SM.
Oh my god!
So yes, wow. So I every time I watch it, and in fact, when we do, we're about to record Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. I spotted another clue in the beginning of the episode, so it keeps getting me.
I forgot to look for that kind of shit.
It was so densely constructed. It's something too that once we got to that episode, I had been wondering the whole time. I was like, boy, it's been a while since we did an Oakley and Weinstein episode. That's because they were sequestered.
Yes.
From the rest of the writing staff doing one and two together, writing two episodes back.
They were basically just like mini showrunners for two episodes before they took over.
Yeah, I said it on the episode, and I agree. Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1 is probably the perfectly written episode of The Simpsons. It's just not my personal favorite this season, but it's so close.
I'm pretty sure Bob had said before, he was going to do that, and like that is kind of inarguably the best. Like, my, if you're a computer, that's the best episode of The Simpsons.
I am.
So I, no, well, I, it needs to be said. I just like, I just wanted to champion something else.
Because
it's inarguably the best episode.
I said it was the most obvious choice. It's the best episode because it had to be the best episode.
Yeah.
It could not have been a bad episode because so much was riding on that season finale.
It's almost a series finale in that it pays off all this history.
Yeah.
Everything
in
its history.
Yeah, it should have been the fucking movie.
So much fan service, so much, so many callbacks, like everybody at their best.
Though my runner-up is actually... If it didn't come right after Bart's comment, I would have been like, this is the best episode of the season. But Homie the Clown, I don't think I laughed harder at any Simpsons episode we've watched for Talking Simpsons than that
It was
one.
The most, like, on a pure laugh level, I think the funniest episode.
Laugh a minute. Yeah. A constant stream of just joke, 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 joke.
Yeah.
Stop, stop, he's already dead. But, like, I... Listening
to,
listening to it when we recorded it, and when I rewatched it for this... Every time Ned was shot, I just was howling laughter. Just like,
he goes down so fast.
Yeah, it's just blams. Ah! And he's just,
we should have bought more than three bullets.
And Homer's blank expression as Ned is shot twice in front of him.
That's
what
great.
Keeps doing that?
I think my runner up is, this is way long ago, but Sideshow Bob Roberts.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It was so long ago you forget it was in season six. But
I wasn't even here for it. I didn't watch it.
Was this season like 25 episodes
long?
It was
25 episodes, yep, because they had...
And next year too.
Thanks to the earthquake, they had two holdovers. Then they had another Simpsons clip show. Plus they had the two critic ones. Like really, they had the standard 22, but then they added in a clip show and two critic produced episodes. So 25 episodes. One more than the largest number there is, 25.
All right. It's the biggest number.
I'll reference another show on the show.
Dispute it.
It's turned into Talking Mr. Show. So gradually. Now, but anyway, I guess that's it for the season wrap up. I'm glad you guys liked us talking about Hanna-Barbera so much.
I had one question I couldn't think of another place to put it. And Henry and I got to talk about it a little bit on Bonus Time, the Laser Time Patreon show. But I figured the Disney now owning the Simpsons.
Yes, yeah. Bob and I chatted a little about that, but yeah, what
there,
I mean,
there
what
was a Polygon article on it, and it summed up some things I was worried about. But like, it becomes everything you might be a fan of at Fox and at Disney. Everything now everything that was a big fish in a small pond just became a much smaller fish.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Simpsons, when you're the company that owns all these other popular cartoons, how big is the Simpsons to you? And how important is it?
And how important is it that like all these rights and it's in other theme parks and like do you? We just watched Marvel kick the shit out of its own product, the X-Men, for years.
Yep. Yeah.
And,
right.
And I don't know what where
That's
the Simpsons is like in terms of merchandise and theme parks.
Simpsons for Fox, Simpsons was a merchandise machine, but I wonder if Disney like goes, that's cute.
We were shocked.
All those toys you sold.
The MCU is 10 years old now. We watched Marvel the Comics Group kind of, well, fuck it. 10 years. What's 10 years? I'm an executive. Yeah. I don't care. Like,
who cares?
No X-Men.
No X-Men.
We will diminish the X-Men. No merchandise. No new X-Men. Minimize the comics. That's weird. And the Polygon article at DRI's like, it'll go to season 30, but after that, it is over.
I can't see Disney working hard to make there be more seasons after 30.
Yeah.
I've seen Disney... Disney's canceled 16 of its Marvel shows.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't they cancel The Simpsons? It is technically, for Fox, not that big a program on the air. It's everything else that comes afterwards.
Right.
The merchandise and the syndication, the worldwide gross, of which Disney has 11,000 other things to focus on. That becomes weird. I think the show is due for some kind of break.
Yeah.
Maybe a resurrection. I think that could be neat.
Let us miss it.
Yeah. I don't want that. I don't want that to happen, but I think... You know, Disney never lets anything die.
Oh, no.
Force Al Jean to find a new job. It's been 17 years, Al.
It would be nice if somebody other than Al Jean ran it. That's all. I mean, no one else but him has run it. There have been total, if you count Sam Simon, Al Jean, Mike Reese, Mike Scully, David Merkin, and Bill Oakley, and Josh Weinstein. Seven people have run The Simpsons in 30 years. Maybe somebody else under the age of 50.
I'm sorry if I'm doing all the talking because I was doing all the thinking over the break about this because I couldn't not because I thought we got a great Star Wars movies. Marvel had a trailer for what looks like the most interesting Marvel movie in a long time. But I couldn't help forget Disney's first major acquisition, The Muppets. The Muppets, which I'm on record on every show and every article, how well they left the staff alone. They let them do their own thing organically. and then they had a movie that didn't perform, and a one-season show that didn't perform, and now they have nothing.
There is nothing.
There is a YouTube channel.
A Muppet Babies CG show is coming.
Is it really?
Oh, no.
Yep. Yeah, look forward to that.
I've talked to somebody who Disney acquired one of their properties, Ron Gilbert, the creator of Monkey Island and
Maniac
Mansion, and he's like, they won't talk to me. Like, I want to re-release these games, and I want to, like, do more things with Monkey Island, but they won't talk to me, and I fucking made these games. So, Disney talked to me. But it's like, what is a LucasArts game to Disney? It's nothing. It's not even a Star Wars thing.
I mean, that's why...
This would be a big hit. It'll make $500,000. Like, Disney wipes their ass with that.
I won't even take a phone call for that little money.
Yeah. And, like, I think... Didn't Day of the Tentacle Remasters come about with a little help from Sony or some other company?
I think Sony had to knock on the door.
For Double Fine.
The reality is they probably had to put up some of the money and just give us some.
Yeah,
we don't care. And The Simpsons has a much larger foot in the door than those games, but it's still weird. And we should be scared.
And I don't know how
Muppets. I bet. Yeah,
I don't know how this happened, but after being unavailable. Never available digitally and unavailable on any medium for 20 years. Maniac Mansion appeared on Steam a few weeks ago. Here it is. It's like, how? This is a Disney. Technically, this is a Disney thing. How did this happen?
Our intern did it.
Who made this happen? It's probably the Brett Elston of whatever office made it happen.
I've seen that. They just dump an old Star Wars game. Star Wars Bounty Hunter here. It's just on PS4.
I'm sugarcoating it a little bit, but they... Do you have an interest to other company? Well, why don't you do all the work? Give us a look and give us either a lot or a lion's share of the money. But they're not internally going to do anything with it, but interested parties usually get a shot at stuff.
I mean, maybe they'll license it out, Simpsons games out again to EA or something. I hope that doesn't happen, not EA. But somebody, maybe we'll get Simpsons games.
The X-Men and the Muppet stuff worries me.
Well, I mean, they own it all, except for the... the theme parks, which matters a lot to Disney.
That's I actually kind of don't like the ride. But
it's a fine ride.
Springfield, everything else around it is amazing. Like, it's worth the price of admission alone for me.
It's one of the best things about Universal. Universal kind of sucks.
It's a very sad thought, but I know someone who worked at EA, and at this point I really want to say that the Simpsons mobile game makes more than anything. The show, the theme park, any merchandise. Conservatively over $100 million a month comes in based that game alone.
Good God.
When all you're doing is paying to look at references and you pay it money to look at them faster.
It sucks.
And the weird thing is I have one of those.
Yeah.
It's called Disney Magic Kingdoms, which now there's no reason.
Honestly,
they can't come over to the
exactly, that's true.
Clash of Clans.
But there's a game to right?
Yes, but it's also a money fire. Yeah. I just throw money into the fire. And
part of playing that game to me is to play around giving anybody money.
Wouldn't I rather see a Simpsons reference while I'm burning money on my phone? Wouldn't I rather see that? It's a real bring down whenever I do research on the wiki of when was the next time this character appeared? And when it says Shelbyville, Manhattan only ever appeared again in Tapped Out, I'm like, fuck this.
It's always crowd scene in the Simpsons movie. Simpsons Tapped Out.
Yeah. And also they get Mr. Lacoste's name wrong. They call him French Waiter in the Simpsons Tapped Out games. Like, who was on staff?
It's your one job, man. Yeah. Get it right.
So
okay.
I thought the best case scenario for the Disney acquisition is whatever the fuck streaming service Disney was gonna make now got it a whole lot more interesting.
Because don't they own Hulu?
They do. They own the majority stake.
Okay.
The majority stake, though.
That's also why they're taking stuff. By buying Fox, they own the majority stake now, which is also why their Netflix deal is over. They had made a deal with Netflix, so Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is on there now on Netflix. That's not going to be next year.
I was on planes, and it was eye-opening as much as it wouldn't occur to me on my plane on demand to look at The Simpsons. I'm just, I got up to go to the bathroom. There are a lot of people just chose to watch an on-demand season 27 episode of The Simpsons.
I prefer to watch a sitcom that is more comforting to me than a movie.
I prefer a movie I'm not allowed to watch with my girlfriend.
You know what? I messed up. Season MVP. We always do that.
All right.
My season MVP is Groundskeeper Willie.
Oh, man. That was really good.
I think he is the best of this season. Okay,
especially the Halloween episode.
In this episode, Willie gets killed a ton in the Halloween episode. Yeah. In this season, Willie saves the day with sexual harassment by filming everyone, as every Scottish person does. In this season,
everyone in Scotland does it.
In this season, Groundskeeper Willie saves the wee turtles. They were too much for him.
That was my favorite joke as a little kid. I loved it.
And also, Groundskeeper Willie, he wants a crystal slop bucket, and he's going to wound that Mr. Smithers. They were in love with Groundskeeper Willie this season. He's so effing funny. I loved him.
I am a bit unprepared. I forgot to do that, actually, but that's a pretty... If it's not
I've
crusty,
made quite a case.
I could say mine if you want to think about it. So mine's Grandpa. If only thinking... for he said the word sex with 30 syllables.
Sex. Yes.
I've had sex.
Will somebody please auto-tune that into a great song?
And but, it's the best part of Round Springfield.
Yeah, I mean Grandpa is really hitting his stride in this season. I think after they kind of forgot he was around in season 5. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to say Krusty again. Because I always love Krusty, and he just keeps getting better.
He was also in Round Springfield. His stuff was like, Perkinin!
And somebody pointed out, I think on our Facebook, the LaserTime Facebook group, just like, we always say Krusty's like the surrogate for anything they need to tell a Hollywood story.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that in this time of sexual harassment, like, Krusty is also the Harvey Weinstein.
He really is.
Every time. Like, he is everything, personifies every aspect of show
business. The worst parts of Hollywood are Krusty.
All right, well, so I'd love to know our Patreon users' answers to those questions, too. Most favorite, least favorite, and season MVP. And just any other thoughts you have on the season 6, and we'll read our favorite comments on the next community podcast.
Oh, yeah, so also stay tuned for our season 6 deleted scenes episode that's coming up next, and join us on this wild ride as we go into season 7 and beyond. And thanks for listening, folks.
Infotainment.